You're listening to the Misfit Preachers, Tully and Chavijan, Jean LaRue, and Byron Yon from ProdigalPodcast.com. We're plagiarizing Jesus one podcast at a time. Now, here are the Misfits.
All right, guys, so I have loved this discussion. I came to believe in Christ in episode one of this and episode two, and I'm sure it'll be the case here. I've placed my faith in him. Again, thank you for just extolling the virtues of the supper, Christ as a lamb, the cross, Christ as the atoning sacrifice for Byron, for me. Let's talk about the resurrection, which is really the culmination of all these events on Easter Sunday. What we celebrate, Resurrection Sunday, Jesus coming forth from the grave. Fundamental question, why does it matter? Why does the resurrection matter at all? Which is a giant softball machine over there being hit to you.
Oh gosh, there's so many things you could say. The divine validation of everything we said about the perfection of Jesus was his being raised from the dead. If you start with the penalty, that the penalty for human treachery was death, and then you have a perfect human who is the sacrifice for that treachery, and he suffers the death that we deserved, and yet 3 days later, the stone rolls away, and he walks out of the grave. You know what that means? It was real. It was real.
Yeah.
Muhammad did not walk out of the grave. Confucius did not walk out of the grave. No one else walked out of the grave. But this God-man took on flesh, paid the penalty, and walked out of the grave and ate food and touched people and touched lives. And what that means is that you can bank on it. If you are hidden in him, you will die, but not forever.
That's right. Yeah.
The first fruits of a harvest that is to come. Yeah, I mean, you're right. I there are a lot of guys out there that had a lot of knowledge about God that I could have placed my faith in, but they're dead.
Right.
They're dead.
They're dead.
Why place your faith in a person that tells you he can conquer death, but death conquered him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The high priest walks out of the Holy of Holies and the sacrifice is accepted.
Yeah.
Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, the simplest way for me to put it, since my spiritual giftedness is sloganeering, is that the resurrection is the Father's amen to the Son's "it is finished" on the cross. That's what it is. Divine validation. Amazing phrase. Absolutely true. And then, of course, if you want to tease it out even further, you recognize when Paul describes the resurrection of Jesus as the first fruits. Well, what does that mean? It means that Jesus was the first bit of material order to rise from the dead forever, and that the rest will follow. Those who are in the entire cosmic order is, as Paul describes in Romans chapter 8, is groaning for renewal, like the pains of childbirth. And if you've ever been in the room when any of your children were born, I was for all three of mine, and each painful contraction their mother had was the promise that new life was on the way. So the resurrection sets things right for eternity, and it infuses us with a tremendous amount of hope that the best is yet to come. And it's not just that I'm going to go to heaven when I die and sit on a cloud as some disembodied spirit. The way the Bible describes it is concrete. It's physical. In Revelation, John, in some different ways, kind of describes like colors he's never seen and trees that speak and dance and all of this stuff. And you just go, none of that's possible without the resurrection. If Jesus was the first bit of material order to rise again and live forever, it is a promise that the best is yet to come, that this life is not all that there is, that the best is yet to come, that your hardest and worst days do not have the final say, that this inner turmoil that you are stuck with, these thorns in your flesh that you live with, they won't be there forever.
Amen.
And so the resurrection is just, it gives us, it is the fuel for all of our hopes that things will get better.
Yeah.
The most honest prayer request I ever got in my entire life, there was this young woman after Katrina who was coming to the little mission outreach that we had on the Gulf Coast, and one of the ways that she was able to cope with life was meth. Her boyfriend cooked it, she enjoyed it, it was a big deal, and met Jesus while she loved meth, and showed up at the church one day, and my buddy Kurt Moore was truly the pastor of the city. He was the one, the parish priest of Bay St. Louis. And she came in to see Kurt, and I happened to be in there. And she said, I have a prayer request. And she said, I just got my check this month. And she said, and I need you to pray that I won't buy meth with it, but I want to. Pray that I won't want to. Mm-hmm. And he said to her, one day, someday, you will not want to. And he said, and that day is coming. And Jesus has purchased it, the down payment. It is coming that you will not want to sin. Mm-hmm. I mean, can you even, I can't even imagine. Yeah. I can't fathom the thought of not wanting to sin.
What will our lives be without it?
We've like, never known life without it.
Apparently dancing trees.
Yeah. Like somebody told me recently, the definition of a perfect marriage is boring. You know, it's like, what is life without sin? It's been, My favorite quote about the resurrection comes from a historian at the University of Chicago, church history. And he said, kind of echoing Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, if Christ is not risen, then nothing else matters. Mm. Our faith doesn't matter. Life doesn't matter. Live any way that you want. Become a nihilist. It doesn't matter. Fatalism, nothing matters. And everything we're doing is a lie. If Jesus is not risen, then nothing else matters. Second part of the quote, if Jesus is risen, then nothing else matters. Mm-hmm. And what he was saying was, as you both alluded to, 1,000 freaking years from now, what difference does the failure in my life that took place years ago even matter?
Right.
It doesn't matter at all, right. Because even though there are victims who are in my path for that, all of that will be reconciled in a way that I can't even get my mind around.
Right, right.
And when I was thinking about this and writing some things out, I said, I would like to live 1,000 years from now where I go sit down beside somebody. They have no knowledge of me or what I've done. I'm completely anonymous. And no one could imagine me ever, ever having done anything like I did to hurt the people that I did. Mm-hmm. There's just no knowledge of it at all.
Right.
As far as they know, he's this perfect gentleman. The resurrection in the hope that you're describing, the first fruits of Christ, is the capacity to fast forward to a place where it's inconsequential. It doesn't exist. It's not there anymore because it's been paid for on the cross. Mm. And the first time I ever heard a pastor say this, he said he was talking to a woman who had cancer. Mm. And he had cancer himself, so he was legitimate to ask this. He goes, let me ask you a question. 350 years from now in your life, what does cancer matter if you know Christ? And she went, you're exactly right, and just walked off. I mean, that's the power of the resurrection. I think the challenge for us is that we only circle back to it once a year. Mm-hmm. But really, without it, nothing else that we've said about grace or justification or any of those things that we offer people matter at all. If Christ is not risen, nothing else matters. If he is risen, nothing else matters. I mean, It was brilliant.
I'm going to try to sidebar guess who this historian was at the University of Chicago. And you just yay or nay. I'm going to see if I know this. Martin Marty.
Pelican.
Challenge.
Usually we're sympathetic.
I know. If the listeners don't, I mean, they were separated at birth musically, movies. I'm the oddball here.
If he's not risen, well, nothing else matters. If he is risen, quite frankly.
Let me say something that could, in a very practical sense for our listeners, there's that struggle where people struggle over and over again with the same things, the same struggles, the same pains, the same weaknesses, the same proclivities. And inevitably, the question comes to us, will I ever get better?
Right.
And the answer is yes.
Yeah.
It is yes. But your question might have a presupposition that's wrong. Mm-hmm. You'll actually never get better than you are right now in Christ.
That's right.
Because there is someone who sits next to Byron today and says, what failure? What sin? And it's the Father.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you will never get better than you are in Jesus.
That's right.
Ever.
It just occurred to me that the problem with moralists is that their timing is off.
Yeah, right. Like, yeah.
It's not right. Here.
Right. It's there. Yeah.
Their timing's off. That's where
we're wow, that is profound.
It's that simple line that Jesus gives in the series The Chosen, which is the most powerful scene of the series. I haven't seen all of them, but I saw this scene. Where he looks at one of his lame, physically disabled disciples who is troubled by the fact that he sees Jesus healing all of these people. Why hasn't he healed him? And he comes to him heartbroken. This disciple comes to him heartbroken, confused. Like, I love you, and I know you love me. You've made that very clear. But you're sending me out to heal people, and look at me. And Jesus says some very comforting words to him and then begins to walk away. And as the guy's turning to walk away from Jesus also, so now they're going in different directions, Jesus turns around and he says, by the way, James, you will be healed. It's only a matter of time. And I was just like, oh my gosh. Mm. That is so true for all of us. You will be healed. It's only a matter of time. And the resurrection guarantees that. God's stamp of guarantee is on that promise.
It's powerful, guys. I came to Christ. It was so cool.
Happy Easter.
We need to discuss this more often. It's so powerful. Thank you, guys.
You've been listening to The Misfit Preachers. Like, subscribe, and share. More grace-centered resources at prodigalpodcasts.com. That's prodigal, PRODIGAL, podcasts with an S.com.